We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers!
What the hell was that, Eddie?
Oh, I saw a score. I saw a score on TV, and I'm like, don't worry. Don't mind me. Keep going.
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. So I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It is SZA. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I love to shotgun White Claws at bars. Right now, you can't because there's a thing called a quarantine, and it's socially distancing is what we're trying to practice. I will be shotgunning claws soon at the bars. Now I'm on the west side with Baser on the patio watching the sunset, shotgunning the claws. Eddie, over to you.
Hey, what's up? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's, and I have corona.
But you went and took another test. You went and took a second corona test because you felt like your window was up, and you got your results, and let's... I mean,
plot twist.
Well, it's just all over the place because, you know, the CDC guidelines say that, you know, you have symptoms, you quarantine yourself, and after 10 days of you starting your symptoms, you no longer can transmit the virus to other people. So you're okay to leave. Obviously, that's not everyone. I feel like that's an average. So I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. I've been quarantined 14 days. Let's go. So I go get tested. And as soon as I get there, they ask me, have you been in contact with anyone who has COVID? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Yep. You're looking at it. Me.
and that's when they take one step back?
No. These people, Lunch, they stick their head. It's like Sonic. They stick their head in your car, and I'm like, what? Like, maybe they already got it or something, or maybe they just see corona 24/7, so they didn't phase them anymore. But I'm thinking, like, dude, I just told you that I had it, or I have it, whatever, you know? And they, like, they don't back up or anything. They're just like, uh-huh, tell me more. And they're like, is there a reason you want to take a test? And I'm like, yeah, my job needs a negative result. Okay, well, usually everyone that comes by here, you know, after 14 days of quarantine, I'm just telling you right now, it doesn't really ever come back negative. You know, this virus can stay in your body, and I'm like, you know what, I got to do it for work, so come on, give me that test.
At that point, does your heart sink a little bit, or are you like, okay, these people are full of crap?
I feel like they're full of crap at that moment. You know, I'm thinking like, sure, you're talking averages, you're talking some people, but... You know what? I feel good. I have felt good for, you know, 5, 6, 7 days. Like, I've felt good. So, anyway, I'm like, all right, let's just do it anyway. So, they do the swab, and coach, they do it fast. I mean, it's like, zip, zip. All right, you're good. And then they're like, wait for the nurse to come, the doctor. And the doctor comes about 10 minutes later, and she says, okay, let me check your, the lungs. Sound good.
Cough.
No, coach. I'm in the car, coach. It's not a physical.
My bad, coach. My bad.
She can't reach in there and make you cough.
They pull up to the car. They're like, all right, drop your shorts. She checks the vitals and everything. She's like, all right, everything sounds and looks good. Good. Just, you know, want to let you know, again, that, you know, chances are you're not going to. You're still going to have the virus.
Coach, you're dragging us out LB style right now.
Yeah, coach. So then, let's smash cut to yesterday.
Thank you.
Yesterday, coach, I get the call, and they're like, yeah, let me ask you, have you gotten the virus? Have you tested positive before? And I'm like, yeah, that's why I went. Yeah, okay.
I mean, wait a minute. Yeah. Why do they have to ask you that when they call? They don't have that on your paperwork.
Why are they inquisitive?
How are they so stupid?
Stick it in your nose. Move on with it. They don't need to ask that many questions, coach. They're like, you're under oath right now.
Well, here's another point I want to make, too.
Oh, make it then, coach. Now's the time.
They haven't asked me.
If you're male or female?
They haven't asked me about my last visit or my symptoms, what they were. when I tested.
So they're not like, asking the questions they need to ask. Instead, they're asking the annoying ones like, why do you need to have this information for a second test? Or, oh, I don't know, it's for my job. You don't need to know that.
And then they're at, and they ask you, where is the hair on the head, top of your head? I mean, stupid questions like that.
What did you have for breakfast this morning? And was it supersized? What are you asking me?
No, I just feel like if they're going to get numbers of people and what their test results are coming back and what their symptoms were, then I feel like they would ask someone like me who's had it, you know, and they haven't asked me anything. No one's asked me.
So I wonder if you count as two now, if you were to have it, if you count as two people.
Yeah, that's another good question, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Thank you, Coach. Thank you.
You should be a doctor.
Coach,
that's another good question.
I took debate in college. I know the good questions to ask.
So anyway, of course, it came back positive again. You know,
let me get this. Wow. You are on a two-week tear, Coach. Our boy Eddie, the coronavirus, 2,
boy.
Eddie, 0.
Boys, I'm on day 17 of the day I got sick,
God. Coach, I hope you're keeping, like, marks on a calendar, like, that you can look back, like, ways that you're able to track this.
Coach, my room looks like the cave in Castaway, Coach. I've got little marks on the wall.
That's what I'm talking about. You're carving it in the bedpost.
Coach, the window's broken out. Your wife's like, why the hell did you break the window? Are you going crazy? I'm going to get you help. You tried to bust out.
I started calling this football that's in my room. I gave him a name. His name is Junior. I talked to him all day.
Coach.
Well, man, we're sorry to hear that you still have corona, dude. Like, I thought, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know if you need, Coach, I don't understand why you're apologizing to him. I mean.
Yeah, Coach, it's okay. You don't need to apologize.
Eddie, I am sorry.
Wait, where did you see Ray? Because in this story, you saw Ray.
Yeah, you left out the best part of the entire thing.
On my way to go get tested, because this place is over on Ray's side of the side of town. So I get my wife to drive me, and we're driving down the highway, and I look and I see this dark, murdered out Blazer.
Yep. Sounds like me.
And I go, that can't be Ray. Is that Ray? And I tell my wife, speed up a little bit. Try to catch up to him. And they were catching up to him, and I look at the side door. There's a big old dent on the side of the car, and I'm like, okay, that's right.
All right.
I know that dent.
All right. It was a parking garage in 2004. My bad.
So then we pull up, and my wife's, you know, she's speeding up trying to get to him, and I'm like, all right, start honking. And she starts honking, dan, dan, dan. I roll the window down. I wave at Ray. I give Ray the sign like he's a trucker to honk. And Ray looks at me like, who the F is this?
Coach,
I got my mask on, sunglasses.
Hey, you can.
I probably look like a bandito.
Hey, pick it back up where we were at the stoplight. But I wanted to say, when you did that, dude, I didn't recognize you guys' Tahoe, and it doesn't even have the street legal plate. So for about 5 seconds, I had no idea who in the hell was honking at me. And you, dude, you had, with the masks on, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you look threatening. So, dude. I was kind of weirded out for a good, and then I realized it was
y'all. Thought you were getting carjacked for the Blazer?
Dude, I didn't know because the guy that was about to carjack me was also kind of waving at me, and he acted like he knew me, but I had no idea who had these plates that are from out of state, and I'm so confused. Honestly, I was beside myself, Coacher.
So then we end up, you know, stopping at a red light, and I was like, all right, that's perfect. So then he comes down, he gets next to me, and I roll my window down, I got my mask on, and Ray just starts reaching in the glove box for a mask, and he won't roll his window down until he has the mask for 2 weeks. And I'm like, Coach, to give you a visual, we are probably 10 to 15 feet away from each other.
Hey, you can never be too safe when the guy's got corona next to you. That's what I'm saying. I don't blame Ray one bit.
I mean, Coach, all he needed to do was put a hazmat suit on just to say hi.
I swear to God, though, there was no thought that went into it. It was literally just me then realizing it was you and your family, and I was like, oh, crap, that dude's got corona. And so I just grabbed the mask. I'm being safe. Maybe if your kids are in the car, I didn't really know if they were, just so that they know I'm also practicing safety and stuff like that when I'm talking to people. But, dude, it was like fight or flight. It was a moment, dude, where I just grabbed the mask, boom, threw it on, and then started talking to you for those like 5 seconds we had.
And I didn't really realize it until after you took off and I you made a right, I made a left, and then I look at my wife and I'm like, did he just put his mask on? And she's like, yeah, he sure did. He put his mask on just to talk to you, yeah.
Coach. Huh. Dude, I didn't want to treat you differently, but that's just how it was without even me really being able to put too much thought into doing it. I'm sorry.
You
it
know,
was a
Coach,
natural reaction.
You don't have to apologize for being safe, Ray. You don't need to apologize.
You know, Coach, some people, you know, they don't want to be racist, but they are.
But and after the
bro,
fact, it was
bro,
almost
come
like
on,
you.
Bro, it wasn't anything.
Bro,
with your
get
race.
Out the paint, bro. Bro, you need to let me do my thing, bro. Let me do a layup. I don't need you screening, bro.
Oh man!
If you guys don't get that reference, Eddie plays on NBA 2K, and they talk like that.
I do have another line that these guys like to spit out.
All right, hit me.
It makes no sense, bro. It makes no sense.
Bro, are you going to go 1v1, bro, or are you going to go 2v2, bro?
They love to say makes no sense. Coach, yesterday I played a 1v1, all right, against this elite, this dude.
Okay,
legit.
No one calls it 1v1.
No,
they call it one-on-one.
Dude, nephew, he'll call my sister and be like, hey, Mom, we're at the courts. It's 2v2. It might be 3v3, so it's going to take a little while. And my sister
really?
Goes, and my sister goes, stop saying that. It's called 2 versus 2. Stop doing the V. We don't talk like that. I'm your mother.
Bro, I'm playing 1v1. And the first play, I got the ball, right? And I'm trying to like shake him. I'm trying to dribble up a little bit. I do a little jig, shake him a little bit, and he goes, "Bro, you're a power forward, bro. Just shoot the ball, bro. It makes no sense."
Bro, you're not trying to shake him, babe.
Wait, he's telling you how to play and you're playing against him?
Yeah, he's telling me how to play, and I don't have my headset on because I don't talk to these guys. And he goes, "Bro, shoot the ball, bro. bro, just shoot the ball. You're a stretch forward. Let's go. You're a stretch four. Shoot the ball." And I'm like, first off, I don't know what any of these terms mean, but I want to shake you and drive the ball is what I want to do. So then I make it. I make the layup, right? And after a while, I mean, this guy and I, we're head-to-head to about 15 to 17 is the score. And he goes, "Bro, you're just straight disrespecting me right now, bro. You're about pissing me off, bro."
And so did you beat him?
All that's all it took, and then he just started scoring on me. I mean, he started draining threes from the half-court line. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to win this game.
Oh, man.
So
you
bro.
Dude, that sounds bad, man. You want to hear about what bad happened to me this weekend?
Tell me.
I got divorced.
So it was my birthday on Saturday, you know what I mean? And I appreciate the birthday wishes from you guys. It was really nice to get those texts.
Coach, I got on Sore Losers on Twitter and made sure we did a post where the listeners nation could comment for your birthday, Coach.
It was very nice. And then my brother tells me, hey, batter's box, if you got the clip.
No, of course it's not ready, but I can pull it up.
He tells me, hey, we're going to have a Zoom meeting at 5. I need you to be home at 5. I'm like, all right, cool. So 5 o'clock rolls. I mean, I don't know where the hell I'm going to go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere open. I don't know what he means by be home. I'm going to be home because that's all you do now is sit at your house.
Batter's box checking in.
Yep. What up, everybody? It's Batter's box here.
And at 5 o'clock, I get a knock on the door, and I'm like, whoa, did he drive all the way to Nashville for my birthday? And I open up, and it's some Tiff's treats. He sent some cookies. I'm like, cool. So then I get in the Zoom meeting, and I sit there. And I sit there. And I sit there. And 25 minutes later, I'm still sitting there, and I finally call Batter's box. I'm like, and he doesn't answer. So I'm like, is there really not a Zoom meeting? Was that just a ploy to get me home to make sure I was there for the cookies?
Why do they want me at my house in my underwear and my socks?
So I call my brother's wife, and she's like, no, there's really a Zoom meeting. We're just running a couple minutes late.
A couple minutes?
A couple minutes? It's been
minutes.
Half an hour. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
And so I bet he said it with that same energy when he was on the phone with him.
It's been 25.
So,
for sure he did.
So then she says, we'll text you when we're going to get in the Zoom meeting. So, okay. So we're just sitting there. And all of a sudden, they just pop up in the Zoom meeting. It's my whole family. It's my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, my nieces and nephews.
Don't forget anybody.
And I'm like, oh, cool. And they start singing happy birthday to you. And they sing the whole song. And they do poppers, you know, like the you have the string and you pull them and all the confetti flies out.
Poppers, Coach. You talking about tequila and Sprite? You shake it and then you take the shot?
No, not like that. But it was really cool. Except for they had the damn thing on mute, so I didn't hear a word.
Oh, my God. God, Coach.
Coach, you couldn't have waved your hands or something?
I was waving my hands, and they were waving their hands back. They thought I was waving to them. They thought I was saying hi, and so they're waving back.
Did you consider to do the throat slash? Because that means
I was doing.
Not working,
hey, can't hear
it.
You. I was pointing to my ears, going, "Can't hear you." He what?
Like,
what?
He like mooned him. I thought that would get him to stop.
I did the palms. I did the palms to the ceiling.
His
I did it all.
Flashing him. But,
I mean,
hey.
It was just like what are my. It was such a great thought by my family to do something.
Maybe this will get him to stop. I'm gonna plop this out here.
And we don't, my family just didn't execute like we wanted to. Like it, and it's just like we talked about last week when about waiting for them to pick you up from school. It's like, where the hell are you guys? 30 minutes late to the Zoom meeting. Thanks a lot. And then you had it on mute. Oh,
dang.
I'm sorry, Coach. That's terrible.
Yeah. And then you know what else was terrible?
This is a transition to
the
sports.
Colorado Rockies, Eddie. The Colorado Rockies.
Coach, God, I tried to tell you guys. I tried to tell you all, like, there are plenty more on the board, boys, that we can probably choose from that seem a little easier than a risky one like that.
That was stupid on my part. I listened back to the podcast on Friday, and yes, you guys actually were very worried about that one, but I kept pushing through, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Actually, Coach, that's not true. Lunchbox was not worried about your bet. He was worried about mine.
Well, let's be real. It was $5.
Which was the most stressful, was the most stressless bet out of all of ours.
Well, yours was also the craziest, the most favorite team. I was trying to go in even moneyer because you do these parlays with baseball, three favorites. You basically just win your money back.
Yeah, you win like 50 cents. But look.
That's not true because, Coach, you posted, or I think your girl posted a picture of her bet that she made in Vegas. Coach, they were all heavy favorites and she lost.
That's why we had to do four of them. Well, yeah, we stretched it. Sometimes when you go heavy favorites and you're trying to do a baker's dozen of them, you're going to lose. And that was my fault.
The heavy favorite, really. I mean, dude, I'm actually really frustrated with baseball. I mean, right now, so far in the 2020 season, it's impossible to bet baseball.
Baseball has always been very difficult. Well,
it hadn't been that difficult. I've given you guys two winners, 2 days in a row. Like, both days, I tried to get a parlay going on Saturday, Eddie. I hit you and Ray up, and I said, hey, you guys want to do a parlay today? And you didn't even respond.
Thank goodness.
My bad, Coach. I think I missed that one because I did a couple parlays. I would have joined it.
Well, Coach, because I said here I want the Braves today in our parlay, and they won.
Coach, they won by the weirdest
the skin on their teeth, dude.
Innings rule ever.
Azuka hit the homer with literally one pitch left in the ninth, and then now this
Ozuna, Coach.
Yeah, whatever. he's on my fantasy team. Ozuna went yard, dude. And then you got to see that was the first time I saw the new extra inning rule.
The extra inning rule is whack. I mean, if you're a relief pitcher, and you're 12 years old, don't be a relief pitcher. Because guess what? When you make it to the major leagues, there's going to be a random guy on second base every time you go into the extra innings and pitch, which has got to be horrible for their ERA.
Well, it's an unearned run if it scores.
Oh, my bad.
But they do get saddled with the loss.
At first, when you know, the Braves started off, I felt like it's got a little bit of advantage to that visiting team.
Because they get to do it first, or what?
They get to do it first, and then, I mean, with a guy on second, you got a good chance that you're going
to
get a run.
You should be able to. You can actually manufacture a run without outs.
Yeah, you can hit to the right side. You can bunt them over. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
But
yeah, there are a lot of and so what I'm saying is the visiting team gets that advantage because you're going to get that run, and you put a little pressure on that second team.
Okay.
However, once I saw the way the whole thing played out. I like it, boys. What do you all think?
It definitely speeds it up. Usually when you go to extra innings, you're like, oh, here we go. Here's five innings. They're never going to do it right away. But now you really think the game's ending in the 10th inning.
It's interesting. I don't want it. I don't want it long term. For this shortened season, I think I'm okay with it. But during a regular baseball season, I don't mind seeing a 14, 15 inning game. This where everything, you know, spring training wasn't as long. They just had this little summer camp. Pitchers their arms aren't in shape. I get protecting the players. And it was very interesting to see. And I think the home team, I am the exact opposite of Eddie. I think the home team has all the advantage. And it's pretty cool because what you can do is if the Braves only score one run, you know you are immediately bunting that guy over if you're the Mets because you have to get that run. So you have to have two opportunities with the guy on third to hit the sacrifice fly. But the Braves just kept hitting the ball, I mean, to the gap, to the wall, and they just started pouring them on. I'm like, wow, well, this got out of hand quick. But then the Mets load the bases. I'm like, here we go. But the Braves got out of it. It was very interesting.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. As the second team that bats, you definitely have a little more strategy and a game plan going into it, knowing what you have to do. I get that. But the pressure, coach, I think it just changes the entire feel of the whole thing based on what that team does. If they score two runs on you, you're like, ah, crap. Okay, all right, this is what we got to do. Let's try it.
And
you
I
know?
Will say
so you're always – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just switching it over a little bit. So with the announcers, I felt that Joe Buck and the Fox guys, which they're the ones that get paid the most, network stations, they did the best addressing fans and kind of how awkward – they didn't really talk about it. I was watching – it was a free preview on Xfinity. You could watch every game, I think, for this whole first week. So I was watching that, and, I mean, dude, the local guys were so bothered by there being no crowd. It was like, oh, it's really different here with no people. Oh, is that awkward? I mean, they got way into their own heads. It's like, guys, just like, it's going to be really interesting. Who are the players that get affected by the no fans? And which players are able to play without fans? I mean, guys, we get it. There's no fans. Just call the, Joe Buck did amazing. Joe Buck, you almost couldn't tell there wasn't fans. He was so phenomenal. So it was the Saturday night call. You had the Nationals and the Yankees. It was a great game. Most of the time, you really didn't even realize it. That's why Buck makes the big bucks. No pun intended.
So, Coach, I think there's a difference. There's a difference. Joe Buck has a national audience. So he's got to call the game very to a national audience that doesn't live in that town.
Impartial.
Watch every well, not just impartial, but doesn't watch every single game of that season.
Good point.
All these local announcers, they call every game of this team's season. And coach, they have to be so local that they even talk about, did you see the car accident on 23rd? You know, like Joe Buck could never do that. Like no one gives a crap, Joe. No one lives there. You know, but like these local guys, they're literally talking to. You know, Joe Schmo, coach, who lives next door to them.
Hey, did you guys notice that Mark isn't at the game tonight? It's odd. He's usually there on the third baseline.
I did hear one guy say, oh, you know what? Whatever team adjusts to these new conditions the best, they're going to be the last team standing.
Yeah, probably.
I heard that.
Like great. That. Like, what,
no
that,
shit.
Like, what a great analogy there. That is a great observation.
And they go, one of the announcers, oh, there's no spitting this year. You're never going to see one of these guys spit. Not even kidding. 5 minutes later, they smash cut to Aaron Judge, hawks a big old loogie on the field. I'm like, what happened to this new rule in place of no spitting?
Yeah, and there's not supposed to be high fives. There's not supposed to be a lot of things.
Oh, there's no high fives until a team does a walk-off, and then they maul him at home plate.
It was interesting, though, but they didn't – there was no spit. Like, I didn't see anybody chewing dip. I didn't see anybody – there's no sunflower seeds, which is weird. If you're used to having those seeds in your mouth, it's just – like, it was cool, though. I still watched a lot of baseball, and I found it very interesting.
I'm fascinated. What?
Guys, quick question. I didn't understand what I was actually seeing in the Cubs game.
Oh yeah, those were guys from like the video game. The crowd was video game. Like they used like 3D from video games and they put them in the stands. I thought it was pretty cool.
So you could
only on one camera.
Yeah,
shot,
it wasn't on every camera. So I believe I'd say 70% of the stadiums did the cutouts. So you got cutouts around. Some of them just said, okay, we're not doing cutouts. That's ridiculous. It's too corny. But yes, there were cutouts, but then they do this up above view where then they would have these make-believe players that are all the 3D PlayStation guys that Eddie plays with, which was cool.
It looked bizarre, coach. At one moment, I didn't hear if they explained that. I didn't hear that. But I was watching it, and they go to the wide shot, and the stadium is packed for only a second or maybe two. And then they go back, and then they go back to the batter, and there's no one behind him. And I'm like, what the? And I rewound it. I called the kids in. I'm like, boys, am I going crazy? Please explain to me what's happening.
Dude, and they those were all PlayStation like, guys, those 3D guys looked like real people.
I thought for a minute, I'm like, oh my gosh, Chicago is punking us. They sold out that stadium, but yet they're trying to CGI everyone out of it, and they slipped. I'm thinking like, oh my gosh. they slipped. They forgot to take everyone out of the shot.
And then Ray, I love Ray. I think it was on Friday night. He's texting going, oh, you know there's people in the suites. They're just not going to show them on TV. Ray is convinced there's people in the suites.
So there's tinting that goes on at the National Stadium in center field. I there's a building out there. It looks like a suite-type area. It is so tinted. It is murdered out. You know they have the rich people, and they say, hey, guys, you can come to the game. You can't sit out in the seats because we don't want to get in trouble for social distancing. But you can come into this pimped-out, tinted room, which was so obvious. I'm telling you, in the suites, if they're tinted, they're packed. If money always is able to do whatever they want, and I'm telling you, people are at those games.
No way. No way. I say no chance. I think what you're seeing are those like apartments at Wrigley, Coach, you know,
across the street.
Yeah. And it looks like they're part of the stadium, but it's not.
It does look like it's right there. Yeah. Who knows? And I'm curious, though, with the crowd volume. So I'm torn now as an audio guy. I don't know, because I was watching the Saturday night game, if it's the Fox broadcast that's doing the or if it's the local stadium guy, because on Fox, it was so freaking money. There were times a guy would get a hit, and you'd be like, oh, my God, and you'd start to feel the energy of the crowd.
Yeah, the crowd would kind of cheer, or when there's a bad call, it boo.
And it was so perfect with Joe Buck talking. I almost feel that Fox was doing that.
I believe it was Fox.
Okay, thank you, because I think that. But then at the local level, maybe you go to a Rockies game or something, I believe that was the stadium people just doing some corny Apple Jacks here, stuff like that. But like when the major money gets involved, that's when they make sure the audio is perfect. My opinion.
It's actually very impressive how quick they do it. Like you were talking about the boo coach, like on a bad
call. Yeah.
Like it's they're fast, man. And it definitely does help because you're at home going, oh, come on. And then the crowd's booing too. I'm like, dang, these guys are good.
The one thing I found funny, though, is now the players do have to chase the foul balls. Like the ones down the line, because there's no one to get the foul ball.
I never thought about that.
Like usually you got the ball guy and you can toss him to the crowd, but now you got to get it and you got to throw it in. And it's like,
what? They're like, one of the announcers goes, yeah, well, these guys play different without fans. What the hell? Like what? You can tell in some of these players that it's a different attitude without the fans. Like, what are you talking about? When you're playing a game, I mean, I've heard all of them say they're so in the zone. Most of them don't even know people are there. Like, so a guy's going to play entirely different because there's no fans there? What?
The adrenaline's different, I think. I don't think you feel absolutely. The rush of adrenaline in the atmosphere because you can feel it when you're there, like the electricity. When it's just dead quiet, it's a different kind of – it takes a different type of person to be able to get into the hyped zone, I think.
Okay.
Mentally, I think – You're really, you know, these players are really strong, but there's no way that you can just zone out sound whenever it's very powerful, whenever it's, you know,
when the stadium's rocking, because you can feel it rock when you're there and it's really loud. So when it's just nothing, it's you can hear the birds chirping, a little weird.
And so, and it's right now, it seems most of the umps are wearing the masks. The catcher's got his obvious mask on, but then now you have. This player will wear a mask when he's hitting. You don't need to wear the mask when you're hitting. It really does constrict your breathing a little bit to a point where it's almost just like you're showing off. And then some guys in the field, one of the Braves guys, Acuna or Albies, I don't know the difference.
One plays outfield, one plays second.
They both came to the league at the same time.
Coach, yeah, and they have different names or different height, weight. Yeah. What, totally
one of,
different.
One
two,
of them,
two
dude,
different moms, two different dads.
Dude, yep. He had a freaking mask on. He had five necklaces on. Guys, when you're playing the outfield, take all the crap off. And at the plate, until you get a hit, you don't need any of it.
They did say that. I don't know what team it was or what player it was, but there was maybe last year where somebody, you know, slid into second and all the diamonds fell everywhere. Did you hear that, Coach?
Yeah. No, I didn't see that.
I believe it was Cespedes. Let me do it. I'll Google it.
No, it wasn't last year. Okay, it had to be a couple years ago then because Cespedes hadn't played since 2018.
Yeah,
it may have been
a couple of years ago.
Oh, he definitely played the other night.
Yeah,
though.
He hit that home run that killed my $100,000. Thanks a lot, Cespedes, you jerk.
Okay, Coach, you missed four other games too, Coach. Or how many games did you miss?
I missed five. I went 10-5.
Yeah, it was Cespedes.
Yeah, me too.
I win.
Well, it was 2 years ago, though.
Protection. Last night's games late. Brian Snitker, the manager of the Braves, opted to keep the left-hander Minter in to face Cespedes.
Oh, that's diamonds? Oh, his chain broke, and those are the
that's some
the residue. Well, the cleanup is underway after Yoenis Cespedes' necklace exploded.
So you're telling me it happened this weekend? I thought you were saying it was a flashback.
No. That was a flashback.
No, it's a flashback, Coach. It's they were talking about it.
Got it.
Weekend. But can you imagine? Okay, Coach. You guys, you're the grounds crew, right?
Oh, man.
That game's over, you're like, okay, let's go, boys. We're looking for a diamond.
No, if I'm the grounds crew, because you probably run out there and help trying to pick it up, I try to cover some of it in dirt so I know where it's at and I get it later. Absolutely.
There's a little molehill near second base and nobody notices it the whole rest of the game.
Hey, Coach, come on, Coach. You can see the glimmer, you know, from a camera angle. Like, I think they lost. I think they forgot a diamond over there. We see it.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I've watched a lot of baseball. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was fun. It was different. But I don't – there's a couple things I don't understand. Like Juan Soto for the Nationals, he played in the practice games 2 days before in opening day. He tests positive for corona. There was a guy on the Reds. He played opening day, and then that night he tests positive for corona. Like, how is this going? I mean,
how are the games able to go on?
Yeah, how are the games able to go on? Because there's no chance they're around those people in the locker room.
True.
I told you that, Coach. I mean, when I saw Soto the night before opening day, I'm like, that's just weird, man. He had to have infected other people.
Right, and we've all done guys in the shower, you know, with sports back when we were in school.
No,
Coach, and there's soap on a rope. There's all that. There's
the wrestling matches. Like, I think I can wrestle.
Everybody's playing grab ass in the locker room. I don't know.
Soap
care who
on
you
a
are.
Rope. Coach, what is soap on a rope?
That's a prison game.
That you so you tie it on your wrist in case you drop it and never hits the ground.
Coach, God, where'd you go to high school? Prison, Coach?
Yeah, no crap, dude. You go to that summer camp Eddie went to?
Where'd you go to high school, on Rikers?
Oh, man. So, but then, okay, so now I want to talk about what I'm so frustrated. The Chiefs are so full of themselves that I love it. I love how cocky and arrogant the Chiefs already are after winning one Super Bowl. So, you know, Jones, the defensive lineman, signs a big deal, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to come back because we're going to win probably five championships. Five championships. Do you know how hard it is in the NFL to win five championships?
Yeah, careful. LeBron, I think, said he's going to win six.
Oh, yeah. Can you pull up that audio?
I got you.
Can you pull up that audio? Because then they asked Tyreek Hill about what Jones said about winning five championships. And he says, oh, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's telling a fib because he's definitely a man of his word, and we're definitely creating something special here in KC. I don't see why we don't get seven championships. I mean, this is hilarious. When football is such a fickle game that you have about a 2 to 3 year window, except for the Patriots. They're the only ones that for some reason figured it out. But when you start coming out saying you're going to win seven championships, guess what happens? You're going to fall flat on your freaking face.
Coach, I got you here.
Hit me with LeBron.
There might be we also know you three kings came down here to win championships. Not one, championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Hey, and when I say that, I really believe it.
Yeah, you really believe it, LeBron. How many of those eight did you get?
You got two, right, and then left
two.
Down?
That's it. Because it's not that easy to dominate.
Hey, he's about to leave, they're like, hey, one of his boys goes, hey, man, remember you made that guarantee you were going to win like eight or something? LeBron's like, yeah, it's cool. We got two. Let's get out of town. We're going to Cleveland.
I just think it's so funny how the Chiefs are so already thinking they are the bee's knees after winning one Super Bowl.
You know who they're going to have to get through?
The 49ers, and it's never been finer to be a 49er.
They're going to have to get through everybody.
Coach, I don't know why you're so fired up, though, because, like, what do you want them to say? Do you want them to come out and be like, no, Jones, he's crazy. We probably won't win another one. Let's be real.
Oh, can you imagine, brother, if he heard that quote, dude, he wouldn't be able to – he would sit there and cry in his cereal that morning.
What? I mean, Coach, you got to have this, you know, UFC fight night mentality of, like, Yeah. Watch the UFC guys before every pregame fight. They're all just like, that chump, he's never faced this guy before. He's never fought a guy like me. Coach, he's going to kick your ass. Let's be real. Like, you know, like, I think they've got to be this way. You can't mm-hmm. expect these guys to come out and just be, like, very humble, because then there is no excitement.
I like it in the fight game because it's one-on-one, mano-a-mano. You control everything. You just have to beat the other guy. Football, the history tells you that you have a 2 to 3 year window of where you can dominate, and then people catch up really quick. Injuries, you got to pay people. I mean, the starting guard for the Chiefs, offensive lineman, he said, hey, I'm out this year. I'm not playing. He's their starting guard. So there you go. You're already going down to a second stringer that's going to have to fill in on to protect Patrick Mahomes.
Brother, I respect him doing that, brother. He's out there saving lives, brother.
He's training to be a doctor, and so he's saying, you know what, after seeing this up close, I can't play a contact sport. I'm not going to play football. I'm out. So there you go. Now you're already in a hole. And then let's see Tyreek Hill turns an ankle. Oh, no. That's what football is so crazy. But you didn't hear the Patriots come out and say, we're going to win 7. What did they do? They just shut up and won. The Spurs, when they dominated for so many years, didn't talk. They
anymore,
just
though,
won
coach.
Games. Coach, they just
they
won
the
titles.
They're the worst team in the league, I think, coach.
No, they're not. But what I'm saying is,
they're pretty bad, though.
When you come out and say this, you put even a bigger target on your back, because they were never the hunted, because they weren't on the top of the mountain. Now they're going to get everybody's best shot. And I want to. Here's the question. Over, under, 3.5 more Super Bowls for the Chiefs.
Under.
I think they might go back-to-back, and that's already at 2. I'd say over. Give me the over. But, yeah, they got a dude that's about to just have an amazing career, and we're watching it.
Yeah.
We're about
How amazing was Peyton Manning's career?
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing, and he won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
2. It is very hard to win multiple Super Bowls. It is just the NFL, just because of the injuries alone, I think it might be the hardest championship to win. Because there's so many people that get hurt. It's just towards the end of the year, I feel like it's not even the best team always. It's who doesn't get hurt the most. But the Patriots find a way not to get hurt, or they just have the most depth, or they just have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I don't know. But, man, when you come out saying we're going to win 7 titles, oh, I just laugh. I just cannot –
March Madness is probably the easiest championship. You just got to go on a streak for a month.
Well, damn.
The easiest.
It is.
March Madness is easy to win. You say that, and now I'm like, well, is March Madness the hardest one to win?
No.
Yes, because one bad game and you lose.
Coach.
You're out. It's over.
I mean, coach, you got to win. What is it? 6 in a row? What is it?
Yes, and that's so hard. You have one bad shooting day.
That tournament got canceled this year, coach. I don't remember how many you got to win. Freaking kidding
coach,
me, dude.
You had to remind us.
Dude, that one's...
That's when it all got real, coach.
Oh, dude, that was the Nashville tournament, the SEC tournament. I had my bet. I did Kentucky to win it. It was part of my parlay. Boom, next day, parlay canceled. That tournament didn't finish, and that was the start of
March
Madness.
Oh, that's when I had my ticket. Oh, my God.
Hey, guys, so I got this $100 Kansas ticket. It's going to win me $3,000. Should I? You had a chance to cash out for how much, coach?
$2,600.
Oh, my God.
No, you didn't, because how much was it worth?
It was 25-1 odds.
Oh.
Oh.
No, but you, didn't somebody offer you money for it?
No, no one offered me. Okay. People were like, oh, you should put it on Prop Swap or whatever.
You probably could have got 800 easily.
Yeah, but then Prop Swap was encouraging people that sold tickets that were canceled to refund the money. They were like, And so, oh, my gosh. That's still a bad one. But I got baseball ones now. I have the Tampa Bay Devil Rays to win it all, and I have the Atlanta Braves to win it all.
The Braves. Oh, my. That offense. Yes, they scored 5 runs, but good God, I've watched 2 games of theirs. I'm not liking that offense at all. They got so much firepower, and they don't do crap. Freddie Freeman's swing takes about 10 years, and Albies and Azuna and Akuka and all those guys, Azorka, they're Sororka. I'm out on the Braves, man. I'm out.
Hey, I like this. After what, 3 days?
3 days of baseball. He is ready to cancel someone. Who else?
Come
right.
On,
so who's going to win the World Series based on these 3 days?
On these 3 days, the Dodgers played absolute crap the other night, and they were down 5-1. They are so good. They literally almost won the game.
Yeah, they lost 5-4, so they scored a whole 3 more runs. Amazing.
Coach, it was impressive the way that they were so ice cold. They couldn't score with the bases loaded. They did horrible. They had got so unlucky. There was diving catches being made by the Giants, and they still only lost by one. Their pitching is in the bullpen. Kenzie Jansen, they're phenomenal. The Dodgers are winning the World Series hands down. No questions asked. And it might just be in all L.A. You might have the Lakers. You might have the Dodgers. Hell, put in the Rams there, too, and crown their ass, the whole city.
Oh, wow. Man, you forgot all about the Clippers, too.
Dang it. I should have went that route because I actually believe in the Clippers more than I believe in the Lakers. Honestly. But, yeah.
Eddie, you want your three-day baseball observations? you ready to
– You want me to pick the World Series champ?
Yeah, just – I mean, because Ray says the Braves have no shot because they couldn't score.
Dude, they can't get their way out of a wet paper sack. On Friday night, they couldn't get a hit.
I do like the Braves. I think the Braves are going to work. You know, they're still – everyone's figuring stuff out right now. But the Braves – I mean, I like the Braves. But I'm going to put – I mean, this is probably unpopular opinion, boys, but I feel like the Astros may be pretty damn good.
That's a great call. They're up there. Their offense is phenomenal. I mean, you talk about an offense that every night's, I guess, going to put up 8 runs. You can't beat that. And I guess they don't need the trash cans. They're still good hitters, apparently.
I mean, so far, 3 days of baseball, they haven't used the trash can, and it hasn't changed too much.
I'll tell you what. I tuned in a little bit of the Astros game, and what I learned is the Mariners, I have no idea who the hell's on their team. I have not heard of 99% of the guys on their roster. Never heard of them.
Coach.
I don't know.
Ken Griffey Jr., coach.
They're going to be one of the obviously worst teams. And then the San Francisco Giants. I have no – their team is full of nobodies also. Because
not true. Panda, coach.
Oh, my God. Did you see how fat he was?
Panda just chills in the dugout, dude.
Panda is bigger than he has ever – I mean, he has to be bigger than he ever has been. He's huge.
Yeah, he's big.
But, there was one guy that started on opening day for the Giants. And it said his name, and it was his major league debut. And he hit 189 in the minors last season.
Wow, bring
so
him
how
up.
Do you hit 189 in the minors and get promoted to the big league club? How can you be that bad and be on the opening day starting roster for the Giants?
Because
that's how
you
bad
see
the Giants
a
are.
A bro that's at 600, and you go, oh, he deserves to be in the major leagues. Dude was hitting 189, and he got pulled up. Oh. All right, we believe he's going to be the next big talent. He was a little under 200, but wait till the major leagues.
Not only the next big talent, you're starting opening day.
Hey, coach, and then what about Hunter Pence? What's it like to, you know, be drafted by a team, then get traded, and then end up back on your team?
Well,
because he's back with the Giants, and I was like, that's pretty – is that rare?
I mean, with free agency, you can go wherever. I mean, so I don't know what and I feel like he's kind of older. He could have retired, but I guess he still wanted to play, and so he plays for a terrible team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I just wonder. I wonder if it's ever bad blood to, like, you know, all right, F you guys. I'm taking off. They go to another team, and then it's like, oh. Tail between my legs. All right, hey guys. Hey,
well, I think because he was drafted by the he played with the Astros first.
Oh, okay.
Then he
okay,
went to the Phillies. Then he went to the Giants, and then the Giants got rid of him. He went to the Rangers. Now he's back on the Giants, and I don't know. Man, it's weird how he is. I don't know. It's very
boys. I got a couple scenarios I want to run by you.
Go for it.
Pretty funny kid stuff.
Got it.
So the first one, since we're talking about baseball. There's a lesson going on in my house with my foster son. We're watching the Giants and the Nationals. You know, they score 2 runs right off the bat, first inning, the Nationals do. And my foster son, he comes up, he's like, all right, come on, I'm going for the Nationals. And I go, all right, bub, listen up. So if you go with the Nationals, you got to stick with the Nationals. You can't just be jumping back and forth on whoever's winning. All right, oh, the Yankees are up. I'm going to go start going for the Yankees.
Well, then he goes, but Eddie, I hear you do that every night. Like, last night you were cheering for the Red Sox, and tonight you're cheering for the Orioles.
Hey, he's in a betting house.
Okay. Well, Bub, I'm betting. I'm gambling. It's
listen,
different,
Bubba.
Man.
Okay, hey, guys, good point. So I did think about that, and that's probably what he sees, right? But that's not what he's doing. He just looks at the score, and whoever's winning, all right, I'm changing to them. Yeah. I'm changing to that team.
Okay.
You got to give him the better's mentality, coach. You got to teach him about gambling.
So Dad, this is where I go into Dad mode. I'm like, all right, son, here, let's have a seat. Let's talk about sportsmanship.
Here's a beer.
Being a fan, all right? Here's a beer. Grab me one. And so I tell him, like, look, you've got to be loyal to a team. And I'm not saying stick to the whole team for the whole year or the rest of your life. You can. You can do that. You can pick one team for the rest of your life. And if they win, they win. They lose, you got to go down with them. That's called loyalty to a team. However, if you're not a fan of one team, just at least pick one team a game.
Coach, the kid thinks you're sitting him down for birds and the bees, and you sit him down for a sportsmanship talk, Coach?
So what do you guys think? What do you guys think? How would you do this if you saw your son kind of like, this is your chance to teach him about being a sports fan?
Bizzle.
Man, I honestly have no idea because I think maybe they're just young and they don't know, but because I remember picking a team at a young age and just being all about the Cubs because they were on TV all the time. So that was the only games I really watched were the Cubs and whoever they were playing. This now day and age, you can watch so many games. So kids a lot of days now flip-flop teams because their favorite player goes to a different team. But I don't know how you handle this. I don't think there's anything really wrong with it. I mean, he's 5 years old. I mean, I don't give a crap if he wants to cheer for all these teams. But just tell him, be like, dude, you're not really cool if you don't pick a team. I just tell him that. Be like, everybody thinks you're a loser.
Yeah.
And kids are bouncing around, Coach. It's not the day and age where you pick one team and you fall them to your death. The nephew, he's got a Giannis Antetokounmpo jersey because he's one of the best players in the game. I hang out with him. He all of a sudden has a Washington Nationals t-shirt, and I'm like, why are you wearing that? Well, they just won the World Series. I mean, that's the kid. That's their mentality now. They just go with the best. He's wearing Kobe Bryant shoes. I don't know why, but, you know.
Like, if you had a favorite Major League Baseball team that you followed religiously, I think they would jump on board. But you don't, so you just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, you don't, because I dress my kid in Cubs gear.
Yeah, but I mean, let's go football. I mean, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, and they ain't touching that. They don't want that. That's Dad's team.
Because they like the logo of someone else? I don't know.
Maybe you're always yelling, Coach. They associate the Cowboys with you yelling, drinking, losing, and gambling.
Smashing beer bottles.
I think it comes down to, are they a winning team?
Coach, the Cowboys games, the Cowboys games remind them of drinking and yelling and cans being crushed.
So, okay, so that's a tough one. I don't know how you handle a kid that flip-flops. You just let him flip-flop. What's your other one?
So the other one, so my wife goes and she goes shopping, back to school shopping for the kids, right? They go to a sports store because the kids want some sports gear. She comes back, and the baby, I'm talking one-year-old baby, he's got a brand-new jersey on.
Nice.
All right, right?
No.
Hey, he's wearing a Washington Redskins Alex Smith jersey.
Oh.
She goes, what do you think? She goes, what do you think? I got it on sale. I'm like, no, no crap, you got it on sale. How much? $1.99? The baby walking around with a Washington Redskins jersey. I'm like, oh great.
Okay,
I don't know what to do here.
Here's the thing. It's a two-parter. A, it's pretty awesome because Alex Smith has been cleared to resume football activities. Like, that is pretty badass.
Okay.
That's awesome. That was a good news out of this weekend to me. Like, I saw that and I was like, man, that's pretty freaking cool that he's going to give it a shot. I watching that, you know, like 30 for 30 or whatever it was, E60 on him, it was very good. I never thought he would be, just his limp looked like it was going to be too much to play. But I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he succeeds. I hope he gets another start in the NFL at some point. On the other hand, I don't know if I'd want my kid walking around in a Redskin jersey.
Dude, the NFL is going to come to you guys' house and remove that Redskin shirt that now that they're in the Washington football team.
I took a picture and I sent it to my mom. I go, all right, not only is the baby a racist, he's also a traitor.
Yeah, he's also a divisional opponent.
Yeah. Coach, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, my wife's proud of it because she's like, hey, this is dirt cheap. I'm like, yeah, it's dirt cheap because they don't want that in their store anymore for sure.
Oh, man.
Go G.
That's funny, though. So what'd you do? You let him keep it?
Oh, yeah. He's walking around it today. He's worn it 2 days in a row, Coach. Loves it.
Coach, just don't post it online.
No, I won't, Coach.
Oh, man. And then, okay, you remember how I told you guys the NBA guys weren't going to be able to go without chicks?
You were right.
Lou Williams left the bubble because he had a, quote, family thing. And then there's a picture of him posted at the strip club in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the guy that posted it, I guess, is some rapper. I don't know who it was.
Who is it, DaBaby?
I don't know who it was. I forget. But it had Lou Williams in
DaBaby.
It was in his face mask, his mask that
DaBaby.
They gave the NBA players at the bubble. And the guy deletes it real quick, and he goes, oh, man, that picture's from way back. You know what I mean? I was just missing my boy Lou, and I wanted to post a picture from when we were hanging out back in the day. But obviously it wasn't from back in the day because it was the NBA bubble mask. And now Lou Williams came out and said, oh, I just went to pick up some food from a strip club.
Dude, we all have done the Uber Eats from a strip club.
Hilarious. Why does the NBA, they bring barbers, they bring manicurists, pedicurists, they bring all this stuff to the bubble. Why don't they bring strippers to the bubble?
I mean, why aren't they going to learn from prison? Guys, you can't keep people from getting stuff that they want on the inside. I mean, come on. They've been doing it for years. Shawshank Redemption, Coach. You want anything? Red will get it for you.
So now he has to sit out, though.
Yeah, he's out for he has to quarantine for 10 days, so he's going to miss the first two games of the restart.
Because he could have got corona from a stripper.
Yeah, all because he was all up in the strip club.
But they need to do contact tracing and go to the strip club, see if he got the lap dance, see what ladies danced. I mean, it's a whole thing. That strip club needs to be closed down.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
Ray spent the entire weekend by himself. When the wife and the girl go out of town, like, Ray, what did you do all weekend by yourself? Like, you know, there's something special when the wife goes out of town or the girl goes out of town. You're just like, well, one thing I do, I crank music up. Like, when the family's gone, I listen to music loud in my house.
Yeah, I'm not much of a loud music guy. I live in an apartment, so we get these complaints, a bunch of neighbors that get all weirded. But, when it's me and I had the MLB free package – it was wall-to-wall Major League Baseball. On Friday, I had a Braves bet with Dodd, which we lost, which was just absolutely awesome. And then on Saturday,
what was your bet?
We each put $75 on Braves money line, and it was 0-0 the whole game. Cespedes hit a home run. Braves, I think, got one hit.
Okay. And you want to know what's frustrating about that game, right? Because I feel bad for you.
Thank you.
The Braves had two hits. We
had a guy on third base.
They had.
Here we go. Hold on. Bunting lesson in three. If you can't. Two, one, go.
There we go. The Braves had two hits the entire night. The top of the eighth inning, they loop a little. The leadoff hitter gets a little loop hit to the right field, drops down. He's on first base. No outs. Top of the eighth. That was only the third hit of the game the Braves had. And they're at the bottom of their lineup. Do they try to bunt him over to have a shot with a runner in scoring position? Absolutely freaking not. And what happens? Next guy strikes the freak out. Boom. There you go.
I feel like at some point this year, boys, we need to get a Major League Baseball manager on the phone. Like, we need it. I feel like Lunchbox has been so upset about the bunt for 2 years already. We need to get a manager and face him with Lunchbox head to head and ask him the question because we need an answer.
No, because then, right, if you leave him on first base, the only thing that's, okay, a home run scores him on one hit. Any other time, it's going to be two hits to get him in. You've only had three hits the entire game. So bunt him over, and one more hit scores the run, and you're tied.
Don't even get me started. This is just bad hitting when you have a guy on third base, and there's one out, and you don't get him in. I mean, guys, I say this all the time. We could get that hit. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times in high school, if there was a guy on third, you literally have free reign. All you have to do is crank the ball, hit a pop-up. Who cares? The run scores. It is the most unbelievable green light you've ever had in your life. So when Major League Baseball players can't get a hit with one out and a guy on third, it drives me nuts, and that's exactly what the Braves did. Lost my bet, vacuumed, cleaned, and then was ready for the parlay on Saturday.
Eddie, you know what? You know what's crazy, though?
It
is that those pitchers in high school are probably just as good as those major league pitchers, right?
Hey, we need T-shirts made. I mean, the sore loser shirts are great, but we need to get other ones made.
We don't even do that.
Lunchbox's quote would be like, bunt the damn ball. And then Rays would be like, we don't even do that.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
good.
I was so frustrated with the Braves. Like, I get it. You're playing for the big inning at certain points, but it's the eighth inning and you only had three hits. It was just like, God almighty, like, what are you doing? It was so frustrating, and I understand we all love the home run now and everybody's fallen in love with the home run, but you're at the bottom of your order. Just bunt him over. Get him in scoring position. Put a little more pressure on the pitcher, but nope, refuse to do it.
So you know,
Ray,
what
else did you do?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say one thing that confused the crap out of me this weekend was when I'd watch the Rays and the Blue Jays, they would always say Hunter Renfroe. And I'd be like, the Clemson receiver? Like, I don't understand. And every single time I'm like, well, I guess that's him. Cool. He's doing a Deion Sanders thing. Like, it's pretty cool. I thought that was Hunter Renfroe, the Raiders receiver, for the whole weekend, Coach. Until I finally Googled it. Not him.
All it takes is a Google.
Oh, my gosh.
Coach, I didn't even think about doing it. I just took the word for it. I'm like, all right, really? How are there going to be two Hunter Renfroes in professional sports? Let's be real.
That is so funny that you just thought he was Deion Sandersing it or Brian Jordaning it.
Bo Jacksoning it.
Bo Jacksoning it. That's yeah.
Well, you know, I watched something on Deion Sanders. I don't know if it was like an E60 or something on it, whatever. But pretty interesting take on him playing both sports that I never thought of because I was a kid at the time and we were kids and we thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But apparently it was really frustrating to a bunch of baseball players because they knew that he could never be better than what he was doing because he was distracted and doing two different things at one time. He couldn't be better.
That's deep, Coach. Wow.
That's interesting.
It takes a movie to bring that out of you. That was a thought right there.
I never thought about it. As a kid, I was like, oh, it's badass. Great. As a player, as a teammate, they were just like, F this guy, man. Like, he's being selfish is what he's doing.
Yes.
Like, two sports at once.
Yep. Everybody else is on this main line, and then he's doing TV. He's the guy that's trying to do 9 million things. You're just concentrating on your one job that you do awesome, and you're like, well, why does he get to do all these things?
Exactly.
Wish he was as focused as me on this one job and making just this money instead of 10 other money.
That's pretty interesting. That's pretty deep. That there was some resentment or they were just mad that they couldn't pull it off.
Yeah, that too.
A little jealousy. Because he, you know what I mean? He's only playing baseball. You know, he's playing both. And so he's getting more attention and taking away the spotlight maybe they, you know, that they felt like they deserve for being on the good Braves teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Happy birthday. Oh, no, not happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me, guys.
No, Richie.
Since you didn't say it, I'm saying it to myself.
Richie on Twitter, Richie00210631, said, happy birthday. I need a shout-out on the show, and I'm tired of Mo and Tampa getting all the shout-outs.
Sore losers, Locks, as well. I haven't heard from Locks.
I'm tired of Mo, too.
And he said he's tired of getting Dial getting all the love. Mo and Dial getting all the love. So Richie wanted a shout-out. Now, before we go, Eddie. How long does a handshake agreement last?
How long does a handshake?
Like if you shake hands on something, say, all right, deal. How long does that last?
Eddie, what's your longest handshake?
Oh, God, I would say, Coach, maybe a day.
A day.
Handshake is it's not a contract, Coach. Handshake is like, yeah, all right, cool. I mean, I would say as long as you remember it, but Coach, come on, let's be real.
A handshake?
How do you remember a handshake?
Dude, what is this, the Wild West? I mean, guys at the bar, you make some buddy bet and you shake hands. I mean, guys are fickle. There ain't nobody shaking hands and keeping track of it.
How
caring.
Long, though? How long if something happens and you say, man, but we shook on that?
It's usually about the same day for me. If me and Dodd make
a
bet together,
day.
We shake, and otherwise, if it goes a week, we're like, what? I was drinking. I don't know what we did. Who knows?
Because there's a guy in Wisconsin in 1992, he shook his friend's hand and said, hey, if we ever hit the lottery, you hit the lottery or I hit the lottery, we'll split it 50-50. Last month, he hit for $22 million, and he split it with his friend.
Wow.
He said, a handshake is a handshake.
I'm guessing there's more to that story. They probably have a business together. He donated this to a business. Get the article out there.
Another factor, too, is have they been in touch this whole time?
That, I don't know. I don't know if they're still friends.
They want you to think that they're not friends. Yes, they're friends. They know how to manipulate us and get an article that makes them look good. And that friendship isn't dying and handshakes are great. There you go.
Good point, cuz. They're trying to manipulate us.
Come
Damn
on.
It.
No, I just wondered how long does that he – after
20 to 30 years, whatever it's been, you can be like, man, you know what? That handshake, that was a long time ago.
Ray, get in here, shake my hand. Let's make it something and see if we do it in 20 years. Get in here, shake me. Grab my hand.
Lunchbox, did you watch the short game?
I watched the short game, Eddie.
And all right, you want to tell us next? You want to tell us next episode?
Oh, what a tease!
Yeah, I'll tell you about the short game.
That is a cliffhanger if I've ever seen one. Wow, Coach, that at the end of the show. Wow, that's why we make the big bucks.
Yeah,
I'll give you my review of the kid movie where the kids play golf. We'll talk,
Coach. It's a good movie, Coach. I mean, I think you're missing out if you haven't watched it,
Coach. I can't be sitting there watching a kid movie. Neighbors can see in through my windows. I'm watching these kids play golf.
No, there's a lot of adults in there too.
I got a rep
to
keep.
Yeah, their parents. All right, Coach.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've already gone like an hour, so I don't want to keep you guys too long. So, because I got a lot of thoughts on the short game.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I want to hear this stuff.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait another day, though.
I'm sorry. Sorry, can't get into it today.
All right.
No, but I'm saying I'm sorry. It's a good TV show.
I got groundbreaking thoughts on kids playing golf when they're 9. We'll talk about it tomorrow. See you 7:20.
Coach, you're hating on it. It's really good.
Yeah,
Coach, I still haven't even watched The Last Dance. I mean, you know how far down the short?
Your fiance was out of town all weekend. You could have watched The Last Dance.
Dude, I had no idea Xfinity was doing the free play with MLB. I couldn't tell you how many hours of Major League Baseball. It was phenomenal. Saturday, I had the channel on the right side, so you could click them. I had skipped channels left, right, this, that. It would have drove her nuts, but it was my own sports book, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, it was a pretty good. I watched a lot of baseball this weekend, a lot. I mean, my wife was, I think it was the first night, first game, she was like, what inning is it? And I was like, it's only the second inning. She's like, oh, geez, we're going to watch this all night.
She's like, do you want to hit a home run?
I'm what? Like, no, there hasn't been a home run yet, sweetie. I'm just enjoying the Cubs. I'll see you later, sweetie.
Hey, do you want to round the bases?
No, nobody's on base. He's got a no-no going. We'll see. Hopefully they get a knock later.
Oh, they got a base hit. I jinxed the no-no.
Oh, you want to get to second?
No, sweetie, that was one base. Remember I told you, singles, only one base.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I hate you guys.
All right, we're done?
Yeah, have a great day, everybody. Hey, Eddie, I got a question for you, though, before we go.
Oh, God, here we go.
Eddie, I
was listening back to that segment on Friday about you trying to get me to open my own online gambling account, right?
It finally made sense about what we were trying to tell
my
you.
My question to you is, how many times have you cashed out, Eddie?
Once.
Okay. Wow.
Cool. Thanks. My point exactly.
Wow.
Thank you.
No, Coach.
No, thank you.
That's my life, though. That's my life.
No, thank you.
I'm talking about you, your life.
No, wow.
I was just asking. I was just asking because that was it. That
dude,
was,
you just served weird. His ass with
yeah,
a question.
I just talked about how I don't cash out, and you're like, all you got to do is have self-discipline. And you've been doing it for almost 2 years, and you've cashed out one time.
No, Coach. I don't make enough to cash out. If I hit anything over 100, I'm cashing it out.
So you've only done that once?
I've only done that once. That's 150, depressing. That was it. Coach, I spend $30 a month. I don't make big bets to make big money. Ray.
No, you do. You bet dollars. You bet dollars, and you try to win 50 at a time.
And I don't hit them because it's a dollar bet. Come on, Coach. It's a dollar to win 50 because it's very risky. Guys, you're looking at this all wrong.
That reminds me, I still owe Dodd 75 from that Braves bet. Dang. We did it through his bookie.
Dang.
Exactly. God, there's always money. See, another thing that on that, Coach, is since we lost that bet, guess what? I have less money in my account.
Sorry.
And now I have to, if I want to put that money back, I'm going to have to get my credit card out, put in $10 off my credit card. With a $3 fee. Coach, it's inconvenient for other people to place bets for you.
Coach, do this for me real quick. Not today or whenever, but scroll to the bottom, help center, and then go to chat now and just tell them, hey, I'm a big money player. Can I get a bonus of 50? Ask them. I've done it before, and sometimes they'll cave.
They won't give me a bonus, Coach, because I won't give them my phone number.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
But you give me your credit card number and all that, but not the phone number. That's where you put your foot down.
Coach, I gotta stay anonymous, Coach.
Yeah, because they don't have your name off your credit card.
Yeah, they're like, we have all these big ass players, and then at the bottom of the list, we have this anonymous guy, Eddie, in Nashville, Tennessee, who spends about $30 a month. Don't give
not
him
about
any...
not about Exactly $30.
Yeah, he bets 50 to 75 cents at a time. I mean, like, why do we have it? Costs us more to keep him on the books than anything. We just cut him.
You know how close you are to them just closing your account? They're like, it doesn't even benefit us to have his open. Just close him, and he didn't give us his number anyways.
Coach, $30 a month, of course it benefits them, Coach. They're lucky to have me as a client.
Hey, guys, Eddie just put in another dollar bet.
Yay! they're like looking over, and they're looking for any fishy like going on. Well, there's a lot of bets coming on the Reds.
No. Guess what?
Hey, 5:22 p.m. There's Eddie's $1 bet again today.
Hey,
he's back.
Guys, get this. Those dumbasses in Nashville, Eddie's account. Yeah, so they put in a $15 parlay. They put the Rockies. Oh, here's another loss.
I mean, that is one thing. 2020 has just been a disaster, except for one thing remains the same. Ray can't pick a winner.
All right. It sounds like somebody just read a tweet, and then he retweeted it and then said it on the podcast. That was pretty funny, though.
I feel like the website looks at the clock and be like, all right, guys, it's 12. It's midnight right now, the 1st, August 1st, 12:01. Here comes Eddie and his $30 deposit.
Hey, guys, Eddie got another 30. Here we go.
Hey, guys, wait for it. Eddie got permission from his wife. Here comes the 30. Yeah! Oh, wait, guys, hold on. It's August 2nd, and I don't see a deposit from Eddie. Oh, we'll just call him. Oh, wow. That big baller didn't leave his phone number.
We don't have his number.
Oh, no, dude. How are we going to survive without his 30?
Hey, guys, it's 2 a.m.
Exactly.
I'll give you one guess with that Eddie guy in Nashville is betting. The dogs, the generated automatically dogs. Yes, those. The PlayStation 4 dogs running around a horse track. That's the ones.
All right, boys.
Do you bet the dogs anymore?
No, I haven't bet them in a while. We got sports on now.
Dude, next time I see you, we got to do a dog race. We'll just do a dollar on it.
All right.
No, not on his account. No, no, not Ray, on your account. Your account only, because it's very inconvenient.
He hit him with the Friday back reference. Coach, what a way to end it, Coach.
All right. We done?
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.